Good evening. We are finishing today Sefer Bamidbar with two parshiot, Matot, Mas'ei. And there are a lot of issues to talk about. If you have any questions, I've got no problem. We can go through the questions. But before we go through the question, I want to go to one point which is very important, because it's putting things in the right proportion. And we're talking about Am Yisrael coming to Eretz Israel. They are now at the other side of the river, the Jordan. And two tribes come to Moshe Rabbeinu and asking to stay here. And it starts the whole thing. Why? Because if you want to go back in history, 40 years ago, there were 12 spies being sent to Israel. And they came back, no, we cannot go in. And Moshe Rabbeinu is approaching them, telling them, what, you want to go again through this procedure? Look what happened 40 years ago, and you're starting now? You don't want to go into Eretz Israel? Impossible. And he reminds them all what happened 40 years ago. And the interesting thing is that then, 40 years ago, the issue was spiritual. Because they said, Eretz Israel is corrupt, and if we go in, it will make Am Yisrael sin. By the way, it happened. So the argument was holiness, spiritualism. Now what is the argument?
Material.
We've got a lot of cattle, and this is a good place for the cattle. And this reminds us who? Go back to history. Lot. Lot is leaving Avram Avinu to go where?
To Sodom.
To Sodom. Why? Because of money. And here, the argument is unbelievable. You know, 40 years ago, at least, the argument was argument about spiritual stuff, holiness. Now, the argument is about cattle, money. Nevertheless, there is a big problem here. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu approaches them and tells them, mercy, whoa, what are you doing? And then they promise, we're not going to stay here and let Am Yisrael fight and conquer the Eretz Israel. We are going to fight. We are going to be the first one to fight. And we're not going to leave Eretz Israel till everything is organized and every tribe got its share. And they did it. But there is a small-ish problem. And this small problem we have to approach. Because, unfortunately, when we talk about what is important and what is not so important, when we see the way they approach Moshe Rabbeinu, telling him like this, Vayikshu elav, and this is Pasuk 18 in Perek Lamed Bet. Pasuk 18, Perek Lamed Bet. Vayikshu elav, Vayomru, we've got it?
Lamed Bet. Pasuk 18.
Yes. Yudchet. Vayikshu elav.
Yeah.
Okay? Got it? Vayikshu elav? Okay. Vayikshu elav, Vayomru, Gidrot Tzon. נבנה למקנינו פה וערים לטפינו ואנחנו נחלץ חושים. What do they say? They say, good evening. They say, גדרות צאן, we are built how do you say where you put the cattle, how do you call it? We'll put camps, let's say, we'll call it camps. We'll put camps for our cattle and houses and for our women and children. But we will go and be first to fight the war in Eretz Israel. Very nice. What is Moshe Rabbeinu telling them after? He is telling them, 1 minute, let's find it. And Pasuk 24. Bnu lachem arim letapchem. Build towns for your children and women. And gidrot letzonchem, and a place for your cattle. And there is a small difference. A small but a big difference. Because the whole argument starts from what? What do they say? We have a lot of cattle, and this is a good land for the cattle. And then it goes on. First of all, we are looking for the cattle. And then we're looking for our children and women. Well, something here is wrong. And Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, I'm sorry, you are putting the important thing in the end and the less important in the beginning. You have to change your point of view. You don't look for your property first and then for your women and children. Life is more important than your cattle. Now we think that they learned the lesson because they said, okay, we're going to do what you say. The problem is, when we look at Pasuk 26, Tapeinu, Nasheinu, Mikneinu, Vechol Boemteinu, Yusham. And so what, who is first now? The children and the women are first. The point is that years later, the Gemara tells us, Begilad Nefishi Rotzchim. Gilad, which is in Ever Yarden, in the other side of the Jordan, where Reuven and Gad are staying, are a lot of murderers. Now we have to understand, why is the Gemara saying it? Because there is a question being asked. We have six towns where if somebody by mistake kills somebody, he goes there. He has to go there. Arei Miklat, shelter towns. Now, all of Israel have three. And in the Jordan side,
six.
Three.
Actually.
The whole six. Never, there are more later on, but yeah. Now let's talk about the six. Three for 2.5 tribes. And three for all the
ten
other tribes.
And a half.
This is a little
disproportionate.
And this proportion is a small world. What's going on here? So the Gemara says, Nefishi Rotzchim. There are a lot of murderers there. So first of all, we have to understand, a murderer that murders somebody doesn't go to a shelter town. He goes to try. Oh, shogeg. So let's understand, why is the Gemara saying murderer and not Rotzeach b'shogeg? And in order to understand what it is, we have to understand another point. People think that everybody who kills somebody by mistake can go to a shelter town. It's wrong. Why is it wrong? Because I'm going to ask you a question. A shelter town, is it a reward or is it a punishment?
Punishment.
It's a punishment.
So if somebody kills by mistake somebody, why is he being punished?
In one sense, it's to protect him not to be killed by the relatives of the man who was killed. So they cannot go, they enter and kill.
The Torah could say, you should not kill also somebody who killed somebody. That's it, finished. Why is this whole procedure? What's behind this idea? If I drive now in Ahuza on 180 kilometers an hour and I go also on the pavement and by mistake I killed somebody, is this shogeg? Is this by mistake? Can I call this a mistake?
No.
This is a murderer. Yeah, but you didn't have any intention to kill anybody. Maybe you didn't. But if you go on 180 kilometers an hour in the middle of Ahuza in Ranana and you go on the pavement, it's 90% you kill somebody. This is not shogeg. This is not by mistake. That's shogeg karov lemeizid. In other words, that's a shogeg that is very close
to be a murderer.
To a murderer by intention. And this guy cannot go to a shelter town. He is going to be judged, he's going to put in jail. Because he killed somebody in shogeg karov lemeizid. It hasn't got this privilege to go to a shelter town. From the other side, let's say somebody is going on a chuza on 20 kilometers an hour or 30, and somebody jumps to the road and he kills him. What would you say call this one?
Shogeg?
Yeah. No, that's shogeg karov leones. Because if you drive on 20 kilometers an hour and somebody jumps on the car, this is somebody something you cannot prevent. Whatever you do, you cannot prevent it. So if you cannot prevent it, this is shogeg karov leones. This case, you also don't go to shelter town, but also nobody can touch you. Because you didn't have any intention to kill nobody, and you took all the normal measures, more than measures, to be very careful, and somebody jumped from the car. What can you do?
Who judge?
Hmm?
Who judge?
Who is judging what?
This
I'm not judging nobody, because I'm just want to tell you that.
No, I mean, who will say, okay, you can go free, it happens?
He will go to the court.
Ah, they
will check.
The court,
they will check what happened. They realize that this guy took all the right steps.
This is the point.
Or if he's got witnesses that I will tell him, there is going to be an investigation, you know, somebody was killed.
And this is what I mean.
And then, of course, but now we have to decide what to do with it. Now, if the first case, he will be put to jail with no problem. Well, you don't go 180 kilometers an hour in the middle of a chuza. The second case, you are allowed to go 50. You didn't go 40, you didn't go 30, you went 20. And somebody jumped to the road on the car. What can you do? Can you prevent it? No. So what is shogeg that goes to a shelter town? That's the question here. The answer is, somebody who goes to Nachuza, not on 50, because it's a lot, it's very crowded, but he went on 40. So he was being careful, but he was not careful to the level of ones. In other words, he was careful, and somebody jumped to the road, and he didn't stop in time, and he killed him. In this case, he goes to the shelter town. In other words, the case of shogeg is between mezid and ones. In other words, not everybody who didn't have their intention to kill can be called shogeg.
Like the children say bli kavana.
Yes.
The children say bli kavana.
Bli kavana, but it depends what he did. Exactly. But it depends what he did. For example, if here there is a socket and it's open, would I put my fingers in?
If it's a child,
no, yes.
It's
a... I'm not talking about a normal guy.
A child.
Exactly. A child that doesn't know anything about it. So this is honest. But somebody who knows that electricity can kill you is not going to touch the electric wires if there are with no protection with his bare hands.
But does the person who can go to a sheltered town, does he have to wait for someone to tell him, or can he go straight away? Does he have to wait for the
he can go straight away, but they will send him out. That's not the problem. He can go, but then if he comes to shelter town, they will check what happened. And then when they see this guy, well, he's a murderer. He says, sorry, out. We don't want you here. Or for the other case, you can go home. It's not wrong. Nothing's going to happen to you.
In this case, going back to the beginning, that the Gemara said there is a lot of murderers.
Yes.
Maybe they went to the shelter town and they sent him away. So there are a lot of murderers free.
Why would they
right?
Why should there be so many murderers?
People who make...
There were not only six, by the way. There were much more.
Yeah,
because every town of the Levim, every town of the Levim was also considered a shelter town. So it's not much more. The idea behind it is very simple. There is God up there, and He judges people. And if somebody deserves to die, God will punish him and find a way to do it. We can only judge according to what we see. So in order that there will be no mistakes, the Torah is very clear about it. To bring a murderer to a trial and to find him guilty, you need so many things that it's impossible to do it. There are other ways to deal with it, but we have to understand the Torah is very careful with life. Life is the most important thing that we have, and we have to keep it and we have to look after it. That's why, from one side, the Torah tells you, you have to be very careful. Very careful is not to get to the level of Shogeg. In other words, if you are very careful, if you know that if you touch this, you're going to electrocute yourself, you're not going to touch it. You were going to be very, very careful. And if you have to deal with something here, you will go out, you will turn off the electricity, deal with it, and then open it again. If you are going to go without dealing with it, this means that you are not careful enough, that you don't value life enough. And that was exactly the problem of the people that sat in the Jordan side. Because it started here. When you put your property before life, you don't careful enough, so then you have a lot of murderers by mistake. Why? Because you are careful, but not enough. And that's the shogeg we're talking about. If the value of life is not highly enough in your mind, then you have a problem. For example, today, look at people how they drive. Are they careful enough? And that's exactly what we're talking about here. If life is not important enough for you, so you will go in red light. Oh, there's no car. I go in red light. So then, an accident can occur. Some car comes from the side, you didn't see it, and there is an accident. But if you go according to the laws, and red light means I stop, I don't walk, or I don't drive, then you would not get to this case of chas v'shalom that something happens, unless a Michiganer goes on the pavement and kills you. But this is the other side of the picture. In other words, what the Torah is trying to tell us in this story with the three towns for 2.5 tribes, and to tell us about those two tribes, that what is important for them is property, money, more than women, more than children, more than human life. In this case, years later, we see that the seeds started here. We have those stories every day. Somebody comes with a gun to somebody, says, give me the money or I'll take your life. You know how many people are trying to fight and being killed? Here in Ra'anana, it happened a few years ago. A diamond dealer was coming home with diamonds, and they knew about it, and they came to him, and he tried to fight them, and they killed him. So this guy did the wrong calculation. The same, that's what we're talking about here. If you put the money before your life, you are stupid. That's why I wanted to talk about this. We have to put things in the right proportion. And the Torah is telling us, look what's happening here. It starts, we have a lot of cattle. So what? God wants you to go into Eretz Israel. Why do you stop in the middle? Why don't you go in? Because you have cattle? So what? What, this is more important than going after the orders of, by the way, it's not so simple. Because our Chaim HaKadosh explains that they proved, Moshe Rabbeinu, that Ever Hayarden is a part of Eretz Yisrael. And this is also what we say today, by the way. But the idea, they had all the excuses, and Moshe Rabbeinu eventually agrees with them. There's no problem. The problem is that it all started from the wrong calculation. And that's what we have to think about. When we have something in front of us, what is more important and what is less important? So the most important thing is our life. And it's more important than all the possessions we've got. More important than money, definitely. Yes.
I just want to
No, it's a part of Eretz Israel.
No, I know, but now it's Jordan, no? Right?
It belongs to us. That they are sitting there, it's not a different problem.
They aren't Jewish people then.
Yeah.
So I'm saying
they were the exile of the 10 tribes.
And when was that? The first Beit HaMikdash?
The first Beit HaMikdash. The exile of the 10 tribes, everything finished.
So they were like they just a few hundred years or something. No.
No, it's a long time. It's a long time. It's a long time. But you see, today, you see, this is our history. It's ridiculous now when we see what's going on all around the world, like UNESCO deciding that we've got no connection with Jerusalem, no connection with, you know, it's so stupid and so showing you that God is behind it. You have to understand it because there is no logic here. Because everybody doesn't have to be religious, and a scientist can come here and check the land and see an ark. You have proofs in the land. That Am Yisrael was here. Everybody knows it. So how can they say that we have got no connection? And who are those Palestinians? They only knew here. They are the ones that are not supposed to be here. They are the ones who occupied our areas. But everything is distorted. We don't look at the picture in the right eye. Anyway, this is the issue I wanted to touch in order to understand and realize what is all this story about telling us that they wanted to stay here and the cattle before life. It's an important issue. We have to understand and realize that in life we have to know where to put what is important and what is, it's also important, but less. Put things in the right proportion. Life is, there is nothing more important than life. Doesn't matter how much money. From the other side, it's no problem. If you put life before, then you can have all the other materialistic things. No problem with it. God doesn't want us to be poor. He wants you to be rich. He wants you to enjoy life. But put the things in right proportion. And we all know if this is the decision is being made by, this is a good place for my cattle. So it's the same thing what happened with Avram and Lot. He also decided it's a good place, and what happened to him? He became one of the people of Sodom. Here it's not that crucial, but still. We see what happened later on. Years later on, the influence is still there of this wrong decision. Anyway, one of the main things in our Parsha is another important thing, and that's the way we start the Parsha. And the start in Parsha, the Torah tells us that if you promise something, you have a vow, you should keep it. But then 2 seconds later, the Torah is also telling us that there is a way to cancel the vow. So we're asking ourselves, 1 minute, what's going on here? If it's so important to keep our words, why is the Torah telling us that there is a very easy way to get out of it? And it's very interesting the way it's written. Vaydaber Moshe el Rashi Amatot Livnei Yisrael. Who is he talking to? Rashi Amatot, the heads, or to Am Yisrael, or to both? If it was to both, it was supposed to be a Ravav. Vaydaber Moshe el Rashi Amatot Livnei Yisrael veLivnei Yisrael, to the heads and to the children of Israel. But that's not what's written. What is written is El Rashi Hamatot Livnei Israel. So if I want to read it right, we're talking here that Moshe Rabbeinu is talking only to the heads. So what's going on here? So I'll tell you very briefly. There are a lot of opinions what's happening here. But one of the thing is that from one side, it's very important to keep your words. What the Torah is telling us here. Ish ki yido neder la'ashem, o yishava shvua, le'esor yisar al nafsho, lo yachel dvaro. You promised something, you had a vow, you swore to do something, you keep it. Kol hayotze mipiv ya'ase. Everything you take out of your mouth, you have to do. And then, ve'isha ki tidor neder la'ashem v'asra yisar. We start with the story if a woman has a vow, so the husband or the, in certain cases, the father can cancel it. But from here we also learn about there is atarat nedarim and afarat nedarim. We all do atarat nedarim every Rosh Hashanah and every evening of Yom Kippur. We do it to get kol nidrei ve'esarei. So in other words, it looks like very simple. From one side we have to keep our words. From the other side it's very easy to cancel it. But the thing is,
there are consequences.
That is so important to keep your words that the Torah gave you an escape point. In other words, the Torah tells you from one side, you promise something, you keep it. You have to keep it. But if you cannot keep it, and it's so important to keep your words that the Torah gave you an escape. But Moshe Rabbeinu is telling this only to the heads. Because if you tell it to the simple people, what would they do? Every 2 minutes they promise something, and the second minute they won't. By the way, it reminds us that the problem is exactly with the heads and not with the other simple people. They always, before the election, they promise and promise and promise and promise, and 2 seconds after the election, lo yachel dvaro, chilelu et dvaram. Everything they promise doesn't exist. They don't keep any word. So this is another reason, the Rav Zalman Sorotskin says this, that the Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to the heads, because they have the problem. They promise a lot of things and they don't deliver. So he's warning them. If you promise something before the election, you will keep it after also. Don't promise what you cannot deliver.
We don't hear the Blin Eder.
If you hear Blin Eder, people want to...
Nobody will get elected.
won't get elected. So they say, what do you mean? We are promising. We are going to do this and we're going to do that. And blah, blah, blah. And what happens later? Nothing. So the point here is, it's very important to keep our words. And I must tell you, I tell you this story every year and I tell it to you again this year. Words can build worlds and they can destroy worlds. So this is why it's so important. This is why the Torah is giving you from one side the importance of your words, and from the other side the Torah is telling you there is a way out. Because if there was no way out, we could all chas v'shalom be I don't know where. Because sometimes we promise things and we don't keep them. And if it's so important and we don't keep them, we have to get punished. That's why God gave us a way to get out of it. But it's a way to get out of it if you cannot do what you promised. But if you can, you should. And God knows. And it's, words have power. Tremendous power. If you remember, I told you about the guy in Petah Tikva when they built a cemetery. They was thinking about where and when. And a guy got up and doing a joke. I'm willing to be the first one to be buried here. A week later he died, and he was the first one to be buried in Skula, Bes Almin. If you go and you can see his tombstone till today, where is the first part of the Bet Kvarat, you go on the right side, you can go through the old tombstones and you will find this tombstone that I... At that time, I think I've got it here. I took a picture of it. When I read things, I like to make sure that it's true and not just a story. That's the picture of the tombstone in Bet HaKvarot in Zgula. And on this tombstone is written, here is buried a guy who said that he's willing to be the first one to be buried here, and a week later he was buried there. So this is how important words are. And one of the problem is, when it gets out, you cannot take it back. And this is really the one of the most important things of our parasha, to tell us the importance of your word, the importance of the power of speech, which is what makes us different from animals. The power of speech. So we have to be very careful. From the other side, what is this whole idea about putting the women here and the husband can counsel? Why is it not the opposite way? Why cannot the wife counsel what the husband is promising? You know, sometimes we say that the Torah like looks, the man is like, the male is like on top of the female. And from one point of view, it is true. But it's not entirely true. Because the idea is, and that's what we have to understand, this is not a story. This is the Torah. And the Torah has got an inside side. And what is the inside side? That each one of us has got male power and female power. And when we're talking about male and female, we're talking about a power, not about a human being. It's being told to us through a human being. But the real thing is that each one of us got female and male. And by the way, how was man created? Female and male together. Zachar unekeva bara otam. So those who think that the man was first and then the woman, and the woman, and the woman was built from a part of the man, just didn't look exactly what's written. Because if they look, they will find out that most of the explanations are that the man and the woman were together and God divided them. And tzela is a side. It's not a pulke. People think it's a pulke. He took a pulke and he built a woman. No. Tzela ha-mishkan kedma. Tzela is the side. In other words, the man had, the human being that was built, Adam HaRishon, had two sides, male and female. And God separated him. That's why they say that only when you put them together, then the man is whole. In other words, when the female power and the male power are together, then you can produce. You cannot give life to the world if you haven't got the male and the female together. Male separated and female separate, there are no children. No results to what you can do, nothing. Only if you connected the two power. And that's the way the whole world functions. So also here, what is the Torah trying to tell us? Not every vow that the woman takes on herself, the husband or the father can counsel. Only something that's got an influence. When the Torah is telling, Asher asra al nafsha. What does it mean? For example, in order to understand it, let's say the wife decides one day she's not going to put makeup anymore and she's not going to go to a hairdresser. And you know what? She's not going to wash for a month. So the Torah is telling you, the husband, if you hear something like this, he's got the right to cancel it. The idea behind it is very simple. You can take on yourself things as long as you don't hurt the other side. The same way, by the way, goes to the man. If the man decides that he's going to wake every morning in 3 o'clock in the morning to learn, it's very nice, a tzaddik. But while the tzaddik is getting up every morning, he wakes up the whole house. He's putting music, preparing coffee, and everybody in the house has to wake up. Is this a tzaddik? In other words, what the Torah is trying to tell us, you don't be a tzaddik on account of the other side or for somebody else. You be a tzaddik for yourself. You want to be a tzaddik? If it's not affecting anybody else, be a tzaddik. But if it's affecting anybody else, you should not do this. This is another important lesson. Because sometimes we know, we see all those tzaddikim that do things that somebody heard, hurting other people. That's not a tzaddik. And sorry to tell you, you're not allowed to do this. And that's what is, let's say, one of the essence of this parsha of Atarat Nedarim. If somebody of any for this case, the Torah is using the woman, but the lesson is also for the man. If the woman is not allowed to do it, you also not allowed to do it. And the idea is very simple. If you take on yourself something that is going to affect your spouse, you should not do it. And if you do it, you are on the wrong side. Now, if the husband doesn't cancel it, there can be two reasons. Or is something wrong with him mentally, or he doesn't care. In both cases, it's wrong. In other words, this is not a couple. There is a problem. Because if the wife is taking on herself something that can affect her the other side, and the other side doesn't care, what does it mean? That he doesn't care. So now, you see, it's all a matter of point of view. It's the way you look at things. Because if you look at the surface, it looks like, and by the way, like the end is sure, we're talking about surface, inside and outside. This is also the power of, well, the power of women is an inside power. And that's why we say, Asara kabin bina yardu la'olam, tish'a natlu nashim. What is bina? You have wisdom, or let's say you have knowledge, and you have, I don't know if you call it wisdom, but the wisdom to take one and do two. In other words, you can know a lot of things, but to be clever, to have the knowledge by itself is not enough. You need to know what to do with the knowledge. Or on the other side, you take the knowledge and you use it in different ways. And this is the power that women got. And it's very interesting, because a lot of times in life, you see that the husband has got a friend, and it could also happen in a business. And the wife is telling him, this guy is fishy. I don't like him. I don't think you should be friend with him, or I don't think you should do business with him. And the husband says, nah, look, he's so nice, he's so thin. And eventually what do you find out? Who was right?
Always.
Why is the husband not right?
I say yes.
What is the difference between Avram and Sarah? Avram Avinu, the greatest leader, the prophet, the Ish Chesed. But God is telling him, whatever Sarah is telling you, you listen to her. Why?
I say, when Yosef discussed with me some subject, I say, listen what Hashem said to Avram. Listen the women.
No, he doesn't say listen. Listen to
Sarah. Okay, not Sarah. Always. And he stops to discuss with me, you know? Because.
So, the idea is very simple. Women have an inner, the power to see inside.
Intuition.
That's the power of women. That's why the Torah is putting the man in front and the women and the woman inside. It's like, I always compare it to a Rolls Royce, a car, beautiful car. The car with no engine, can it move?
No.
No. The engine is the woman. And the car is the man, what you see outside. But an engine without a car, it's nothing. A car without an engine is nothing. Now, if I take the engine and put it on the car, not inside the car, what's going to happen? In time, it's going to rust, it's going to dust, and it's not going to work, it's not going to function properly till it will break.
Yeah.
In other words, if women take the outside part, eventually, it's no good. But if women take the inside part, they are the angel. They are those who are behind everything. And they have the power to see what men cannot see. Because men see only the outside. They don't see the inside. Because men is the outside power. And women are the inside power. That's as I said, tell you. And by the way, you have to understand what I'm saying also now. It's not exactly in the physical world. It's in the spiritual world. In other words, the male power and the female power. The female power is an inner power. The male power is an outside power. That's why the Torah is always, we see that normally, yes, except of certain exception. But normally, the man is going to be the one that is talking, and the woman will be the one in the shade. But it doesn't mean she's less important. It's, in certain cases, more important. But the real thing is, the male is important, and the female is important. The men and the women. And only if they go together, and each one is doing his own job, then you can produce. Then you can do things. Otherwise, you cannot do anything. And whatever you do is not going to last. And that we can see in history, and the physical world and the spiritual world. That's the connection between the things. Male and female together. That's, by the way, Avram, Yitzchak and Yaakov. Avram is the male power. Yitzchak is the female power. And Yaakov is the result that combines male and female. That's why from him comes Am Yisrael. Or Chesed is Avram. Gvura is Yitzchak. And also Din, judgment. And together you have Tiferet, which is Yaakov. And we can go on and on and on. The whole world is built on this basic power. Male and female together, and then everything is functioning. If you don't put the male with the female, nothing is functioning. So what we learn today from the Parsha is, first of all, to keep our words and try, and what we promise, to deliver. To understand the holiness of the world. And also, as we said, about putting things in the right proportion. And not putting the less important thing in the important place. As we said, the example is Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven, putting possession, money, cattle before human life, which is wrong. And the important thing is that we put things in the right proportion, and Be'ezrat Hashem, go in the right direction and understand that we all have powers, we have to use them in the right way, and if we say something, you cannot take it back. It's already there. That's the importance of speech that makes the difference between us and animals. Shkoyer.